everyone. Welcome to this installment of our Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I'm your host, Matthew DiMaggio. Today we'll be discussing the municipal markets with Royden Durham, Portfolio Manager of the Aquila Churchill Tax-Free Fund of Kentucky. Thank you for joining us today, Roy.
Thanks, Matt.
So, Roy, it's no secret that 2022 was a challenging period for the fixed income markets, but hopefully the worst is behind us. Zeroing in on municipals, though, in your view, how is 2023 shaping up so far?
Well, the 2022 market performance was a real Jekyll and Hyde affair, with a huge downdraft beginning the year and ending by the end of April. From that point, we rallied with some bumps along the way, particularly in October. Basically, the Fed raised the federal funds rate last year, and I think the MMD 10-year ended January 30th, 2023, at a 219 and closed on July 29th, 2022, at a 223, virtually unchanged over the 6-7 month period. Of course, things have become more volatile since the end of January.
Thanks, Roy. Looking forward to seeing how the remainder of the year plays out. So as we look at the municipal market today, what would you say are the leading factors driving the market?
So Chairman Powell has been adamant that the Fed will raise rates higher and for a longer period, but some inflation trends, lower and robust jobs reports, have tugged the Fed in two different directions. In the February meeting, most analysts thought they would raise 50 basis points, but a week before the economic numbers, they changed and they raised only 25. 2 weeks later, Powell's stern testimony before Congress had the Fed raising 50 basis points at the March 22nd meeting, but now with the bank failures looming, we're talking about 25 basis points and tightening ending by the third quarter of this year. It's really a moving target with volatility thrown in. Amazingly, the muni market has been less affected and less volatile than the Treasury market, but that's come at a cost of the Treasury to muni Treasury ratios. Currently, that ratio is about 67%, the U.S. Treasury to AAA muni scale in the 10-year maturity. The median valuation over the for the 10-year over the past 7 years is about 92%.
Really such an interesting time in that Fed fund cycle. Since we're on the topic of interest rates, you know, municipal bonds, of course, are not immune to changes in the rate environment, and so much has taken place on the yield curve there. So as you look at the yield curve currently, where do you see value, potential opportunities, or any attractive risk-adjusted returns?
So Kentucky supplies really dried up over the first quarter down through the end of February, according to the bond buyer, by 80%, while the national issuance is only down 28%. Not that that's good. This has driven spread relationships narrower for Kentucky paper since the usual higher spreads of Kentucky paper garner much national attention. Occasionally, secondary paper in the highly volatile market has presented some buying opportunity, but dries up quickly. Some year-to-year new issuance scales with maturities in the 9 to 14-year range have some allure for us. This is longer than the saucer shape for the first time, or a cup yield curve, inverted yield curve, we're experiencing in the sector.
And thank you for being specific, drilling down to Kentucky. If we could, let's talk about Kentucky a little bit more. What are the latest developments impacting the local economy and or the municipalities themselves?
So the big news, okay, which garnered national attention over the quarter has been the funding of the Brent Spence Bridge in Cincinnati. The project will be funded by $1.6 billion in federal funds and commences this year and wraps up in 2029. The entire project is supposed to cost about $3 billion and have no idea what costs are allocated to Ohio versus Kentucky. One would think that the Ohio access will cost more, but really don't know. Since funding for the Louisville bridges came through the Kentucky Asset and Liability Agency, my guess is that that'll be the entity that handles the funding. By the way, Kentucky general fund revenues, when adjusted for an offshore gambling settlement in 2022, are up 8.8% through the end of January. The fiscal year, by the way, begins on July the 1st, and the legislature has cut Kentucky state income taxes by another 0.5% for 2024 as a result of revenues meeting the statutory financial goals outlined in the fiscal year 23 legislation. In other economic news, through the state, the Kentucky Small Business Credit Initiative is releasing $117 million over the next 10 years to support venture capital projects in Kentucky. The funding is provided to help business that were affected by the shutdown experienced during the COVID-19 pandemic. Also, Kentucky unemployment rate as of December 2022 was 3.9%. The historical record low, the national unemployment rate in December of 2022 was 3.5%. Kentucky also placed second nationally in economic projects per capita in 2022. Envision Automotive Energy Supply Corporation, Ford Motor, Novellus Corporation were all recognized with 2023 Outstanding Corporate and Community Economic Impact Awards from a trade magazine called Trade and Industry Development. So the Ford Super Duty plant will cost about $700 million. That, you know, has a huge economic impact. The Novellus Corporation, which is a recycling center for batteries, will cost $365 million. And Envision is building a $2 billion electric vehicle battery plant.
Fantastic insight on Kentucky. Really appreciate that, Roy. I just have one more question for you. Given all that you've shared today, what would you say are the key takeaways from this conversation?
The fund's performance over the past year, using its tenets of local management, high quality, and intermediate maturity, drove our performance from a total return perspective. Value in Kentucky market does exist, but is increasingly hard to uncover. And Kentucky is on a roll from an economic, legislative, and labor perspective, with lower state taxes, increased economic projects, and a 3.9% unemployment rate.
Those are all the questions I have for you today, Roy. Thank you again, and thank you to all our listeners.
It's a pleasure, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio managers and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor of the fund. Before investing in a fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit www.aquilafunds.com or call 800-437-1020. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in credit quality of the issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of the funds with greater geographic diversification. For more information on the entire Aquila Group of Funds, please visit www.aquilafunds.com. The fund seeks to provide a high level of income exempt from state and federal income tax, as is consistent with capital preservation. Past performance does not guarantee future results. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax referred to as AMT. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, AAA, highest, to D, lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. where the independent rating services differ in the rating assigned to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Pre-refunded or escrowed bonds are issued to retire or regain an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of a security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration also takes into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is a difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net investment income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income above an applicable threshold amount. Yield refers to the earnings generated and realized on an investment over a specific period. Yield is expressed as a percentage based on the invested amount, current market value, or face value of the security, and includes the interest earned or dividends received from holding a particular security. The yield ratio represents the comparison of the expected yield of one bond to the expected yield of another. A yield ratio is important when deciding whether to invest in one bond or another. Generally, the higher yield is considered better.